Welcome to the Coach Dave Love Podcast with NBA shooting coach Dave Love and your host, Matt Robertson. Exploring the cutting edge of evidence-based shooting development in basketball today. From shooting form to skill acquisition to shot metrics. This is the Coach Dave Love Podcast.
Welcome to the Coach Dave Love Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Robertson, and this is NBA shooting coach Dave Love. Dave, what's going on today?
I am in Las Vegas, Nevada. Game day for the NBA G League Ignite. It's about 60 degrees and kind of like a high cloud, which for a Canadian at the end of January, I'm pretty thrilled with. So things are good. How are things with you? You've had a major life event.
Okay, I don't want to dwell too much on this, but yeah, so 2 weeks ago now, welcomed my first child into the world. For those that know me, when I say 99.7% of the time it works every time, it did not work 0.3% of the time, and here we are. But we're very excited, and yeah, little Ozzy, little Oscar James Robertson. And for those that know, they know. And if you don't, that's okay. Don't Google it.
I love it. So you're getting some sleep, but not a lot right now.
Yeah, wifey had to have the C-section. So I'm pulling night shifts. But yeah, family's been incredible. And I'm just I'm happy to be able to do most of the things that I'm still able to do before we had little Ozzy. So yeah, this is a highlight of the day for me.
Awesome. Me too. All right. So this is episode 7 that we're recording. We assume this is going to be episode 7 as we release it, but that might change. What are your thoughts so far? How do you feel about the first?
I want more of the Dave Love weather forecast wherever you are. So like air pressure and barometer readings, imperative. But aside from that, man, this has been so much fun. I think that every podcast, so looking at this as coaches, one of my, you know, one of the lenses that we're able to look at this through is that we're constantly trying to grow and get better. And so it is weird when I'm at the gym listening to myself and to you talk, but taking mental notes to be able to get better. And I think that over the last 6 episodes, we've done a great job at limiting our interruptions with one another, which is kind of a fun thing. Finding a structure and a format that is what we feel is most effective. What are your thoughts?
I've loved it. It's been a lot of fun, which was between you and I, like one of our biggest goals was like just to enjoy doing this and commit to doing this for a year. And it's been a riot so far. And then I've been really happy with the feedback that we're getting from people that people like have been texting me or messaging me to say like, yeah, I got a lot out of that. And that's really reaffirming for me. And then I really like the structure that we're kind of building towards. It's not exactly where we want it, but we talked about like wanting to be fully transparent about things, and part of that is like our growth and the mistakes that we make along the way, like interrupting each other constantly. We've talked over the last week about an idea that we're going to start to introduce, because in us listening to ourselves, we kind of found Dave can get a little windy at times, and we can both kind of go off topic fairly easily. So do you want to talk about our idea?
I do. So Dave came up with this brilliant idea, and I don't want to completely eliminate the tangents, because the tangents is where the magic kind of live. You know what I mean? But Dave came up with this idea. He's like, I want to give myself a little shot clock. Maybe it's a thought clock, to give like 5 minutes to a very specific idea so that it forces me to be concise, but still leaves it open enough that we can still have a little fun between the raindrops, which is kind of where the sweet spot is for us, where we're trying to deliver poignant, useful, relevant information to all the listeners, whether they're basketball coaches, tennis coaches, basketball fans, or just regular people who happen to stumble upon us for whatever reason, like the timbre of Dave's voice. We want to make sure that it's done in a concise way. Well, we also still get to be ourselves and have some fun along the way. And so I think a five minute thought clock is a great idea. And Dave, one of the great delights for me is A, going to be when you screw up the words thought clock and call it shot clock or shot thought. But also when you start to ramble and I start to give you the thought clock look at the in my eyes, you know, this is going to be a lot of fun.
It's going to be a disaster. Eventually, I'm curious to see, do we ever have a horn that goes off? And then like my goal is just to see, like, every 5 minutes, I want to deliver something, like, have delivered something tangible and meaningful to the listeners, and hopefully try and get episodes down to 40 minutes or so as opposed to an hour five. But whatever, if they become an hour five again and they're useful, then great, let's go with it.
One of the things that we do make, like we said, want to be transparent, we do take the feedback seriously. So when people send us feedback about anything from the structure and format to the audio quality, that is something that we're working on all the time. So please keep the feedback coming, and an engaging community is a fun community. And it's going to, again, we have fun doing this regardless, but if we're able to include some ideas, include some people, then it's all gravy for everybody. So yeah, this is good. Good little therapy session to start out. I like that.
All right. So holding ourselves accountable to the shot thoughts, the thought clock, dang it, already first time that I screwed it up. We're 6.5 minutes in plus the intro. I feel like we got to cut the rambling short and get going.
I thought you were doing a bit, honestly. This is great. This couldn't be better. So, okay, today's episode, let's really dive in. This is what I like to call the Coach Dave Love hits. This is the hits. Play the hits, Dave. When people say that, these are the hits. And so this sort of overarching umbrella is the constraints-led approach to shooting development. But this is the secret sauce. This is the structure of your workouts and the structure of your drills and how you make players better. So let's dive right in. Give me the walk down the lane of what constraints-led approach means to you.
So the constraints-led approach is something that I've been learning about over the last 5 years. And again, I'm not an expert in it, but this is my perspective, how I try to use this skill acquisition approach to developing shooting form. And then we're going to go into, like, what form shooting drills do I do within this approach, and how do I use those drills? So that's going to be kind of the meat of the episode, is what are these form shooting drills and how do they fit into the constraints-led approach? But constraints-led approach is basically an approach to developing a skill in which ideally the drills force a player to organize themselves a certain way, that you put constraints on the drills that ideally force a player to explore a movement pattern in a certain way, that they have shooting form that works in a certain sequence, and you're trying to change something about that sequence because their sequence doesn't work. And in the constraints-led approach, when executed well, you don't necessarily have to explicitly explain to the player what to do. The drill encourages or forces the player to explore the movement pattern that you want them to explore. So it's not so much you're teaching in your words. That doesn't necessarily work. It's the drills force the kind of movement that you want to guide the players towards.
So give me an example of a sequence that's not working for you. Before we even dive into your drills and the secret sauce, give me an example of a sequence that's not working for you. And if you have a player in mind or just the abstract idea. Go for it.
Well, a lot of the bad habits in shooting come to a head or are rooted in what I call the set point. So just to backtrack for a quick second, there's two motions in the shot, the lifting motion and then the shooting motion. And the transition for a mature player, the transition between those two motions is going to occur around the forehead. And it's the position that we kind of all think of when we think of like the shooting position, kind of the ball up around the forehead. And that's what I call the set point, is the transition from the lifting motion into the shooting motion. That's when your true shot begins. Up until that point, your shooting hand hasn't been in position to push the ball the direction that you want it to go. And so you're not yet really starting the shot. And most players, they're out of position in some way at their set point. Their hands over on one side of the basketball, their hands towards the back of the ball, they're leaning, they're in some way they've missed their set point. And so a common constraint that I use all the time in, I'm not kidding when I say probably 95% of the drills that I do, the constraint is remove the guide hand at the set point. And that forces the player to self-organize towards what I consider to be a more optimal position and a more optimal movement without me necessarily having to explicitly teach it.
Interesting. So them forcing them to take their guide hand, I'm going to do the thing where I motion it all out right now to make sense to me. Well, doing the thing where you're taking the guide hand off the ball forces them to balance the ball in their shooting hand at their set point, just much like we talked about in a previous episode, two episodes ago, when you talk about self-organization, when you push somebody and they just happen to land in the perfect position almost every time. Is this a similar phenomenon?
Yeah, that I don't necessarily have to teach you to, to land a certain way. I don't have to say to you, okay, when you start your shot, I want you to be in with your feet this wide apart and your legs bent this way and your torso in this position. I can just push you, get you off balance, and you as a human being trying not to land on your face are going to try to get your balance, and the position that you're going to find your balance in is going to be the position that I want. And so you've discovered it by yourself without me necessarily having to teach it. And that doesn't mean that I'm not going to use my words and make you aware of it and use different external or potentially even internal cues to bring awareness to the idea. But I don't have to explain a ton what your body should be doing exactly. I can create a problem for you and let your body solve it in its own way.
Oh, I really like that. Let your body solve it in its own way. That's a good way of looking at it. So that's the most common constraint you use. So can you give me an example of a couple other constraints that you're using and other concepts kind of along this before we get into the drills themselves?
Well, there's environmental constraints, and these will apply less in what I do as far as a shooting coach, but an environmental constraint could be just like you shrink the floor. So you're playing 3-on-3, but you've only got one side of the floor. You're doing a dribble keep away evasion kind of game, and it has to be within a certain area. You can have those kind of environmental constraints. You can reduce or increase the number of players on the floor. When I talk about my layers, some of the layers that I play with are a constraint, where how much time do I give you in order to shoot? How much time do I allow for you to be aware? How much movement do I encourage or discourage? Those are all constraints that we can put on a drill.
very cool. It is different. Again, as I learned through this podcast with you, this is just different examples of challenge point, right? Is that kind of constraints leaning towards or pointing towards challenge point, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. That that for our practice to be accelerated, our practice needs to be in that sweet spot of, you know, are we actually working on what we say we're working on? Are we exploring movement patterns in the correct area, or are we just reverting back to the very same movement pattern that we've always had because the situation is too hard? But then is the challenge of the drill increasing as we get more capable? Is the drill becoming more game-like, or are we just expecting players to be able to transfer a new learned habit into a game situation? I see it all the times where coaches say, okay, we're doing our form shooting for 5 minutes, and they do form shooting, and then it's like, okay, now go do that thing, whatever habit that you were working on, go do that in a game situation. And they get mad at the player for not knowing how to do it. And it's because you practice at 0% game speed, and then you expected them to know themselves how to execute at 100% game speed. And we need to do better than that.
I want to come back to this. We're flirting with a thought clock violation. So let's take a quick break. I'm going to go to commercial, and we're going to change direction just real quick when we get back.
Hey there, basketball fans. I'm NBA shooting coach Dave Love, and I've got exciting news just for you. Introducing my exclusive free basketball shooting newsletter. It's packed with insights and techniques straight from the hardwood. Have you ever wondered how NBA players improve their shots? Or how you could get to the next level, whether you're a college player, a coach, or a budding youth player? My newsletter brings all this and more directly to your inbox. Each edition is a deep dive into the world of basketball shooting. I'll share some of the tips and ideas that I use with my NBA clients, tailored for every level of the game. But wait, there's more. Subscribers receive exclusive monthly discounts on my online products. From training videos to personalized coaching sessions, you'll get it all for a fraction of the price. And the best part of all, it's absolutely free to join. So what are you waiting for? Elevate your game and join a community of passionate players and coaches from around the globe. Signing up is easy. Just visit CoachDaveLove.com.
All right, welcome back. So, Dave, that was awesome. I really want to talk about the next kind of concept on our list here, and I want to talk about freezing degrees of freedom. So help me understand that, because as we were kind of going through the show notes, I looked at that, and I was like, I have no idea what that means. And so, like, average layman, average Joe over here, or that's my dad, actually, average Maddie, no idea. So let's dive into that.
Okay, so freezing degrees of freedom is really limiting the amount of motion that a player has to worry about or to focus on, and then the opposite of that would be freeing degrees of freedom. So a very simple example of freezing degrees of freedom would be, if I said to you, okay, just stand with straight legs and just closer to the hoop and just focus on the upper body portion of shooting. So I'm eliminating certain degrees of freedom, how much you use your legs, so that you can direct your attention where I would like the attention directed. That's to me is the beginning of the process for players, is I need to make them aware of the feeling of a certain movement pattern that is a little bit foreign to them. So I'll simplify or I'll freeze degrees of freedom. Then as they get comfortable with that new movement pattern, I'm freeing degrees of freedom and making it more realistic, making it more holistic as they go. So this is basically what I try to do in form shooting drills. And I think when you're using form shooting drills, the traditional form shooting drills that we kind of all picture when we say that phrase, We need to be very aware of identifying what degrees of freedom are we freezing, why, and how much do we need to.
Is movement a degree of freedom? So for example, like if we're doing basically a standstill form shot, is the like left to right movement or not allowing left to right movement, is that a freezing a degree of freedom? Is that included in that kind of concept?
I would say it is. Now I'm not the expert on the topic, but yeah, that like I'm making the environment easier. I'm making you have to move less so that you can focus where you need to. I would say if it's not exactly the definition of freezing a degree of freedom, it would be a close cousin. That would be the I thought you were going to make a joke there,
we'll have to wait, but we'll continue on. Yeah, go ahead, sir.
That would be a similar concept to at the very least.
So what you're saying is, and please don't roll your eyes at this, but you're isolating different parts of the shot, in which case that we're working on this. Sorry. Segue. So Dave, before we dive into these are the drills. This is your sort of your progression. Before we dive into this, just when you unveil the secret sauce, people are going to steal this from you. I saw you do this and I stole it from you. And I was like, okay, just, you know, Coach Dave Love, this is the roadmap. But just like before you unleash the recipe onto the world, just I'm preparing myself for this. I love it. Dave Love, talk to me about isolation drill.
Okay. So isolation drill is basically my ultimate freezing of degrees of freedom. And this is something it's a drill that I came up with. I'm sure somebody else came up. Well, I know my mentor had a very, very similar drill, that he was doing. I didn't have a name for mine and he called his isolation drill. And while his is a little bit different, I like that name. And then I wanted to kind of give a tip of the cap to him to say like, hey, something that was inspired by you in some way. And so isolation drill, because I believe most of the problems in shooting come to a head at the set point, is really a freezing of degrees of freedom around just starting at the set point. So rather than worrying about the early lifting motion of the shot, I'll just have players put the middle of their hand underneath the middle of the ball at their set point. And usually just having to do that with your guide hand beside the basketball, but not touching, forces a player to self-organize in a certain way where the middle of their hand gets underneath the center of the basketball with their finger parallel to the target line. They have to be in a position where the shooting hand can control the ball by themselves, because I've removed the guide hand from the equation. We hold that position so they have time to be aware. And then we focus on lifting in a straight line up and forward from there with legs pushing, elbow lifting, and guide hand never touching the basketball. So that's the idea. I feel like you tell me, do I need to describe that? You've seen it. Do I need to describe that drill a little bit more, like how to do it?
When you said earlier that everyone kind of has their vision of what the classic form shooting drill is, this is an offshoot, a variation. But because you put that picture in my head where I'm like, ball is in my hand, arms spread out in front of me, I rotate my elbow so that my hand's under the ball, that gives me the picture of the start of isolation drill. So I think that's a good description for me. Have you ever?
Can I take one more lap of it? I want to make sure that this, because I see people on social media or at client, they think they're doing isolation drill, and I'm thinking, no, you're missing the point. So let me explain to you as though you are the player. But what were you going to say?
I was going to say, can you give me the description, but also give me how they get it wrong so that we don't do that? I know that's not a thing we do in teaching where we're like, don't give the negative. I don't hit it in the water. But give me that.
Sure. So if I were teaching you to do an isolation drill, I would say, okay, we're going to start at a very moderate distance, probably two steps inside the free throw line for the average athlete. A professional guy, maybe a step inside the free throw line. And let's make sure that we go into why we're doing that in a second. But then I wanted you to take the basketball and I want you to put the ball, I'll just say to a player, put the ball above your eyes so you're looking underneath the ball. And players will usually go to a fairly close position to that shooting hand position. If you're listening on the podcast, you can find the video on YouTube, the video version of the podcast, and see what we're talking about. So you're going to put the ball above your eyes, and I'll instruct in some way, like, I want you to feel like you're making three sides of a square so that your upper arm, your bicep and tricep are parallel to the floor. Your forearm is vertical-ish, perpendicular to the floor, and your wrist is bent back so that your hand is underneath the basketball. Okay, so we want to be in that position. Then I'll instruct players, I want your guide hand off the basketball, but I want it there beside. I always make the joke to a player at a clinic. I'll walk up beside them and say, when they tuck their hand behind their back, I'll say, part of me loves that you tuck to your hand behind your back when you're doing that. Why do you think part of me loves that? And they'll say, because I'm not using my guide hand. I'll say, yeah, you're holding yourself accountable to not using your guide hand. And then I'll flip around and I'll say, part of me hates the fact that you're tucking your hand behind your back. Why do you think part of me hates that? And they'll usually think like, I don't know. And I said, are you going to have your hand behind your back in a game? And we want to make this as task representative as we possibly can. What positions are we going to be in a game? And then how close to that can we be? I want you to learn to shoot the ball with one hand. In order to shoot the ball with one hand, your guide hand has to come off the ball, but it's going to be there. So why not practice like that? Make it as representative of the actual motion that we'll be making in the game as much as we possibly can. So then when a player is holding that position, to me, the most important moment in the drill is hold the position for 3 seconds. So I want that time for the player to be aware of, what does this set point where I'm in control of the ball with my shooting hand by itself, what does that feel like? And then once we're aware and you've had a chance to kind of pay attention to some of the details in the drill that I'll go into in a minute, then just lifting with the legs and the elbow at the same time and snapping the wrist. And it's a relatively simple movement. That's not to say it's easy, but it's a simple movement once we can make sure we're in control at the set point. So isolation drill to me is all about just understanding where the set point is and what it feels like.
So the first time, so this was like our third clinic or fourth clinic together. You put me in front of the kids. We were at University of New Brunswick in their brand new Curry Center, and I was demonstrating isolation drill. And at the time, I was playing a lot of hoops, feeling really comfy, like shooting the ball really well, whatever. So uncomfortable for me to stay frozen in that position and have the ball nice and balanced in my right hand. But I can understand why it's such a good thing, because if you can hold that balance for 3 seconds and then have a nice, clean, simple release, that's going to make you better from the set point and on. I really like that. Can you give me, when you see it on social media being done as isolation drill, what do they get wrong and what should we be watching out for?
Well, isolation drill has frozen a lot of degrees of freedom. So it's as task representative as I can make it while holding accountable to details. And we need to know the details that we're focusing on. And people, the most common mistake I'll see with it is people are just stopping at the set point, only their set point is less than optimal. They're making all the same mistakes that they've always made. They're not changing any movement pattern. They're just stopping in the middle of the movement. And so all you're learning to do is shoot slowly, which is the opposite of what we're trying to accomplish. We're trying to change a movement pattern, but there's no accountability to what are the details that we're trying to change. So the first detail that I really want people to focus on is for 95% of players, the index finger, the pointer finger, is the middle of your grip. At that set point, we want the middle of our grip to be underneath the middle of the basketball. And a lot of players will get where they're not quite underneath the middle of the ball. They're pushing the ball slightly offline in the opposite direction and just compensating by snapping the wrist off offline. Just the reason for those 3 seconds is to hold accountable to, am I actually underneath the middle of the basketball? Am I underneath the center? And then am I underneath towards the back so that I can keep the ball online? And I can generate arc, and so people just miss the true purpose of why are we doing something that slowly, so that you can focus on details. We're not just doing slow shooting; it's more than that.
It's suitable that you said, "What is the purpose of what we're doing?" Because we're playing the Coach Dave Love hits today. And what is the purpose is one of the hits. Like I love that. Again, flirting with that thought clock violation. Let's take another quick break before we get into the next drill. This is great. Thank you.
Hey, basketball fans. Coach Dave Love here with an exclusive offer just for you. My personalized video shot analysis. Imagine having an NBA shooting coach analyze your shooting form just like I do for the pros. That's exactly what you'll get with my video shot analysis. Here's how it works. You send me a video of your shot and I'll break it down frame by frame. I'll pinpoint your strengths and identify the areas of improvement and give you tailored advice to take your shot to the next level. You'll receive a comprehensive analysis designed just for you. Whether you're a beginner or an aspiring pro, my feedback will help you shoot with confidence and precision. It isn't just feedback, it's a game changer. With my video shot analysis, you're not just practicing, you're evolving, and every single shot counts. Ready to transform your game? Visit CoachDaveLove.com/store to learn more and get started. That's CoachDaveLove.com/store and look for video shot analysis.
I'm going to interrupt for a second. My vision of the thought clock is that that it will just within that 5 minutes have I given tangible information. So
I just think that it's a funny thing to I think it's a funny thing to reference on the way out of a topic. We're like thought clock violation. So
we're going to reference it. I would say, what would be the thought if the thought clock is expiring. What would be the thought that we want people to get out of that last 5 minutes? Like, we can put a bow on it.
I like that. Do you want to just leave this in and we'll just like edit, or do you want to take a little time out after this? A little 30, little 10 second time out here. A little short one.
We talked about being transparent. Maybe we go with this.
Away we go. Welcome back. thanks for tuning into one of our little sidebars. This is great. Outside, that was a quick timeout, a little 20 seconder for the Americans in the room. All right, back on task. Coach Dave Love, play the hits. Give me the ABC drill.
Okay, so this is a progression of drills. So we start with isolation drill to learn where the set point is. Then I want to move on to ABC to learn how to find that set point. And so ABC is, I can remember the player that I was working with when I kind of came up with the idea of the drill. And I'm not suggesting I invented this idea. I'm sure somebody figured out to segment the shot. But like other people are calling it 1-2 through, or it's the concept is start a triple threat position, lift to the set point, stop, remove the guide hand and shoot the one-handed shot. So once we get to the set point, you're basically making it isolation drill. You're just teaching yourself, can I, when I have to start somewhere other than the set point? Can I find the set point? And hopefully, can we create a template where my A position, triple threat, leads me with positive energy to the set point, B position, which hopefully then leads me with positive energy to C position or the release. So A is triple threat, B is the set point, C is the release, and we're stopping at each one just to have time to be accountable to, are we in the right position at B position or the set point?
Like, just alluding to your fun little data project, how much of this is about ball path and transition between A point, B point, or point A, point B, point C? How much is about the transition and how much is about the actual point itself?
Oh, great question. 50-50. I think it's sort of about both. And then for each player, they'll have their own unique way of, I don't want to say screwing it up, but screwing it up. Sorry. Excited when I saw you taking the drink there. I'm like, Matt, this might make Matt laugh. And that's going to be, we're going to get our first take on the podcast. Different players make different mistakes. And I think those are the two kind of mistakes they'll make. And that's my job as the coach is to now know, in what way do they get it wrong leading up to B position or at B position? And how do I need to adjust the constraints on the drill so that I can get them to self-organize differently and be in a better position to make a more efficient movement?
One of the guys that I coach with is a young guy, super ambitious, like is the guy watching game film at like 11:30 when he should be sleeping before he goes to his day job. Keeps sending me videos on low set points, and every part of me wants to dive into that, but I don't want to derail us. So note for future self, we're going to talk about set point locations. Okay, Coach Dave Love, play the hits. Give me slow to quick.
Slow to quick is now, okay, so let's continue on the train of thought that we've had. Isolation drills teaching you where the set point is. ABC is teaching you how to find the set point and stopping in it to make sure that you're correct. I've frozen the degrees of freedom. I've segmented the movement. And now slow to quick is trying to make that more fluid, but still giving the player time to work on it. So I came up with this probably about two workouts after working with that guy, Adam Ford, that was the guy that made me invent ABC. I had to figure out a solution for him, and the solution was just stop at the set point and then just lift from there. And then I'm like, well, how can I get him to make this more fluid? So I just had him start lifting the ball really, really slowly from A position, your triple threat, to the set point that we've been working on. And as soon as you get there, remove your guide hand and fire out. So you start the motion slowly, and then so that you have time to be aware, am I going to arrive at the correct set point? Am I going to change the movement pattern that's been holding me back? And as soon as you get to that a set point, remove the guide hand and accelerate, just like you did in isolation drill, just like you did in a slow to quick.
So just for my own reference, and generally it's funny, you'll say things sometimes and I'm like, oh, that's, you just breezed over a really interesting thing for me. Give me the Adam Ford jumper before you invented slow to quick and why, how, like the progression of how you got there.
I'm trying to remember Adam's bad habit, but I don't remember what specifically he did, but I just had him like, okay, just start here, start at the set point. And basically created isolation drill. And then said to him, okay, now just start down in triple threat, lift it to that point, stop and take your guide hand off and then go again. But make sure that you're in this position at the set point. And that was ABC. And then I realized I need to make this fluid. I didn't know about freeing degrees of freedom. But that's essentially what I'm doing is I'm allowing him more degrees of freedom in which to move. And so I just said, let's start it really slow, like take 3 or 4 seconds to get from A position to B position. And so that you can make sure that you're going to be right when you get there, and then just go. And that, I think that was about 2006 or 2007. And that was where isolation drill, ABC, and slow to quick sort of were born.
It's very cool. We're going to take one more break, but the Coach Dave Love secret sauce, isolation drill, ABC, slow to quick, and 1,000 stops in between, but we'll get to those in future episodes. Let's take a quick break.
Hey there, basketball fans. Coach Dave Love here with an exciting opportunity to revolutionize your shooting game. Introducing my exclusive shot development systems, Pure Release, Consistency and Balance, and Fluidity and Arc. Each system is designed to target key aspects of your shooting technique, transforming you into a more effective player on the court. Pure Release focuses on perfecting your shot release. Consistency and Balance enhances your stability and accuracy, and Fluidity and Arc works on your ball path and trajectory of your shot. Find out the drills and progressions that I use with my NBA players to improve these important habits. Can't decide which one to choose? No worries, grab the bundle and get all three systems at a fantastic value. It's a complete package to elevate every part of your shooting game. And there's a special deal for all my podcast listeners. Use the promo code PODCAST20 at checkout to save 20% on any of the shot development systems. Don't miss this chance to train like the pros. Visit CoachDaveLove.com/store and take your first step towards shooting success. That's CoachDaveLove.com/store.
All right, welcome back. Okay, so we played the hits. We played through the first and second, third album. Everybody's fired up. The crowd's ready to go. I don't want you to play any of the new stuff, not yet. But before we kind of wrap up this episode, because again, we could go through this for days and days and days based on the players you've worked with, the issues they've had, and how you've used the different drills differently to correct those things. Let's talk about the biggest mistakes that people make when they're kind of going through these progressions. And let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, I think the biggest one that I see is just lack of accountability to habits. And we've talked about this in previous episodes. I think in the first episode, like, what's the purpose? Like, what habit are we working on here? What position or what movement are we trying to create when doing these drills? Even at a professional level, I see players think they're doing form shooting, and they're not in any kind of position that they would be in a game. They're just shooting slowly close to the rim, and making all the same mistakes that they've always made. They're just shooting slowly close to the rim, and there's no value in that, or very, very, very little value in that. So it just starts with what habit are we holding ourselves accountable to working on, and so that would be the first mistake that people see making, and that's kind of addresses the second one. But go ahead, what were you going to say?
Yeah, before we jump into the next one, when you're talking about accountability, is that obviously it's both coach and player's responsibility, but is that mostly player responsibility to catch that and be accountable?
Ideally, in a player-led approach, which is what we really like, it should be the player that can feel it. And ultimately, in the beginning stages, I might need to teach. Then I should be transitioning into just making them aware. So in the beginning, I might say, oh, no, you did it there. Like, you made the mistake that we're trying to, because they might not be able to feel it. Then as they start to be able to feel, I'll probably just, instead of explicitly saying, no, you got it wrong, I might ask, what did you feel? And then hopefully we're working towards, I don't have to say anything. They're turning to me and saying, ah, shoot, no, I I made whatever mistake that I made on that shot, and then I'm asking them, okay, what do we need to adjust so that you don't make that mistake again?
How good of a feeling is that for you when that happens? Like, you've gone through the full progression of like teaching them the spectrum of making the mistake without realizing it, making the mistake and you having to point it out, making the mistake and them kind of feeling it and acknowledging and then not making the mistake. Like, how good is that?
It's the part of my job that makes the hair on the back of my neck or on my arms stand up. I love that moment. But then it's also kind of like, and I haven't been in this in real life yet, but I'm knocking on the door of like, you're sending your kid off to college and like, they're ready, but then you don't need me anymore. Like, it's a little bit sad. Where that's my goal is I want to train you so that you don't need me. And now we're kind of there. And I know I can always help in other ways, but yeah, it's awesome. And then a little sad both at the same time.
Okay. On to the next biggest mistake that people make, transitioning from accountability, from the drill that, as I like to call it to my players, shooting slowly close to the rim, which I will never do again after this.
Yeah. I think the next mistake people make all the time is they're just not in game body positions. So while I'll use freezing degrees of freedom, I avoid hand behind the back. I never do that. I never do the arm extended with the ball on top of your hand. I used to do that a lot, and I never do it anymore. You're just never going to be in that position in a game. So you're learning a movement that you're never going to use. And so as often as possible, I'm going back to what positions am I actually going to be in a game, and are we in those positions in our practice?
RIP to that drill that I did 1 million times. When I was 12.
Yeah. I think we can do better than that.
It hurts my heart, but you're absolutely right. You know what? Part of this, again, I don't want to derail us too far. Part of this for me is like the death of a lot of the traditional way of thinking and the traditional way of doing things, because again, this is what we've always been taught. And I think that Nick mentioned it from Gonzaga, mentioned it in the episode where it's just like, this is how I was taught as like an 11-year-old from like the high school teacher at my local middle school, you know? So yeah. Mourning that IP, big ups to my man, slow form shooting drill. Okay. Next biggest mistake that people make.
Probably never increasing the level of challenge. Just thinking form shooting is shooting with your hand behind your back close to the rim. And I do this in clinics where I'll ask the players like, go do 5 shots of form shooting. I'll just give them that instruction. They kind of look at me like, go do 5 shots of form shooting. And they all go stand close to the rim, shooting slowly, shooting stationary. I'm like, congratulations. You guys all did a version of form shooting, but you just did the most boring, least transferable, least challenging version of form shooting. And so like, we just have to understand form shooting isn't 0% game speed. Form shooting is everything from 0 to 99% game speed and should be challenging. And so that's the level of difficulty of the drills should increase as players get better at the habit.
That was a whoa moment for me. That's great. I really like how you put that. And I think about when I was in Vegas with you this summer working out with that player, like that was form shooting, but it was a dynamic workout. It was a dynamic set, and you're using isolation drill, ABC, slow to quick in a dynamic, interesting and fun fashion. Like that kind of breaks my brain a little bit actually to think about it like that. Thanks for that.
I appreciate it. And I had a similar moment with a college player. We're taking video for some of my online courses. And I asked him, okay, I need you to come off a pin down We've got our little cone there for the imaginary screener. I said, I'll be the defender. And if I trail, I want you to curl to the elbow. And if I go underneath, you're going to flare. And I said, and then when you land, I want you to do ABC. And he stopped and he's like, I've never thought to do form shooting in a game situation before. That's like, that's why traditional form shooting doesn't work, because we think of it as 0% game speed, and it's got to be more dynamic.
I know we usually do at the end of the episode one takeaway, but just before I forget this, can you just say that thing one more time about 0 to 99% form shooting, please? That was that's impactful.
We have this picture that form shooting is stationary close to the rim, and it doesn't involve any of the dynamics that make basketball a sport. It's, we do it like it's throwing darts, and because we practice at 0% game speed and expect it to transfer to 99% game speed or 100, that's why for the most part it doesn't work. We've got to learn to bridge the gap from 0% to 5% to 10%, and know why we're adding the complexity and difficulty, know when to add the complexity and difficulty, and then be patient enough to get good at the stages while we're going through that process.
Coaches, like, that is something that I need to be sure to implement. And coaches out there, like, please stop your car if you're commuting and write that down. It was a little more succinct the first time you said it, so penalty for that. But that is so impactful, because it changes the way that we're dealing with shooting preparation. And it's even like for me, I'm not trying to change their jumpers. Like, I'm not at that level. We're not doing that. But we do form shooting. We do slow shooting close to the rim at every practice. And that's super impactful. Okay. Give me the last big mistake that people make.
By practicing in such a way that actually makes players less adaptable. And this kind of goes back to the block variable random practice that we've been talking about, that we tend to do form shooting either from one spot on the floor for some reason, including my own videos. Most of the videos that you'll see online will have the player standing at the dots on the middle of the floor at the bottom of the jump circle in the key. And that's not where learning occurs. Learning can occur everywhere. And so by doing it over and over and over again, I even saw one video that drove me insane on social media where a trainer was celebrating, this 13-year-old grinds when they do their form shooting. They're just grinding. And the player's doing one-hand form shooting from the dots over and over and over again, and one of his rebounds takes him over 4 feet from the left, and he grabs the ball and comes back to the dots and shoots again, as though that's the only place that learning can occur. Why not just shoot from the other angle? Change the distance in an appropriate window. Teach players to be adaptable by giving them appropriate variability for where their skills are, rather than saying, do this perfect thing over and over and over again. We're making players less adaptable by asking them to do it over and over and over again with no variation between reps. Create the appropriate amount of variation between reps so that players learn to adapt the way they shoot the ball.
Whatever the opposite of old man yells at cloud is what you are with this stuff. It's my favorite thing. It's like, it's such an antiquated way of thinking that, again, I also did that. I like grab my rebound, you know, so it just, I really appreciate, because that is the prevailing old school thought for like 80% of coaches or 90% of coaches that are not in this like new world of data and challenge point and random variable practice. So yeah, you're not an old man, and maybe you're yelling at clouds, but I really appreciate your take on all of this. And especially with a lot of the garbage that's out there on social media, there's so many people out there who are projecting things that maybe are not best for your players. So
and that's where we start. Like, and I want to be transparent about that's where I was 8 years ago. I was just block practicing the hell out of players, and they got better. But I now look at it and go, oh my God, they probably wanted to kill me. It was probably boring. So they never wanted to do this necessary work because it was so mindless. And it probably didn't improve them as much as it could have if I had just understood some of these principles. But thankfully, somebody like Chris Oliver with Basketball Immersion came into my life and a host of other people. And now I've got my Science of Skill Acquisition mentors who I pester with questions so that I can learn these things. And it's kind of the reason why we have this podcast is to say, hey, it's okay to be at this for your starting point, but here's the ways that you might need to grow as well. And here's some idea and inspiration on how to go about doing that.
Another note, just for all the coaches out there, as they steal these drills, isolation drill, ABC, slow to quick, giving yourself the credibility by just being like, this came from an NBA shooting coach, not my drill. Like, your player will respond to that because mine have also. I really appreciate you kind of walking through the secret sauce, and I've seen all of this in action, and it really is game changing when you look at changing the way that people are moving their bodies, shooting the basketball. It's the hardest thing because it's all rote muscle memory from 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago. Anyway, so Dave, I want to wrap this episode up here. We're kind of keeping it to a reasonable length today, which may be a little long, but it's okay. Give me a 20 second. I'm going to put 20 seconds up on the clock and just go with the biggest takeaways from today.
Focus on the set point, accountability to being in positions at the set point where you can a player can create positive power out of that movement. Learn how to find that set point from realistic variable positions earlier on in the motion, and then adjust the variability as much as you can as players get better at that habit that you're trying to build.
Just got it out under the horn. I like it. Coach Dave Love, thank you so much. This has been awesome. As always, engaging the community. If this was helpful, if you learned something today, if you want to give us some feedback, where can the people find you?
Social media, Instagram, Twitter, X, at Coach Dave Love. I'm calling it Twitter. I don't care. Coach Dave Love, and then on CoachDaveLove.com on the interweb.
You cannot currently find me anywhere, but you will be able to soon, I promise. Thank you again for keeping with us through this 45 minute episode. Please engage. Bye. Please let us know. Again, next time, you know, we'll get them next time. Yeah, this is overtime. Please feel free to engage. Please comment. Please DM Coach Dave, because this is where we learn. This is where we get better. Maybe we'll have interesting conversations. Maybe we'll have you on the pod, but just please engage with us. This has been a lot of fun so far, and just looking forward to the journey. Coach Dave Love, thanks for your time, and see you next week.
Thank you for joining us on today's episode of the Coach Dave Love Podcast. To stay up to date with our future episodes, please remember to hit the subscribe button on your favorite podcast platform. Don't forget to sign up for Coach Love's free shooting newsletter on CoachDaveLove.com, and be sure to follow him on social media. You can find him at CoachDaveLove.